Judgment and justice is a habitation of his throne. And this is often what people do not know anything about, nor do they want to discuss it. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us now to see that you are a holy God, you are a just God, and that shortly you are going to bring absolute judgment against this world. And you have put up with mocking and apathy towards you for many, many years, thousands of years. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see that when you judge this world, it is right, it is just, and this world is definitely worthy. And I pray you'd help us to see this side of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the title of the book is Revelation of Jesus Christ. And you have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that focus on a little bit different viewpoint about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's showing that Jesus Christ sacrificed for man. In other words, he loved man. Revelation shows the side of Jesus Christ if a person rejects his sacrifice. Revelation shows that the Lord Jesus Christ is a God of justice. He is a God that's holy. Now, most of the pagan gods, if not all the pagan gods, are mad all the time. You can't do anything to make them happy. You can just appease their anger for a short bit, but then they're going to get mad again. With the God of the Bible, God is holy and just, and you can appease his anger. Okay, and you appease his anger by accepting Jesus Christ, coming to him, trusting in him. Okay, and then, but when a person rejects that, then they are going to see the wrath of God. They're going to experience it personally. The ultimate wrath of God, God's anger, is hell. That's eternally. But as far as his wrath poured out on the earth, that's what the tribulation time period is all about. And this chapter 15 going into 16 reveals seven vials of God's wrath. In chapter 14, he portrays God's wrath as somebody walking through a grape press or a wine press, the Bible calls it, stomping out the grapes and everything, the blood. In chapter 15, he's pouring it out through different plagues in chapter 15 and 16. Okay, so we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 15. And he said, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Okay, filled up as in a bowl or a cup. Sometimes the cup of God's wrath referred to, it's like sin would be like in a liquid state. And so as the sin is poured into the cup, as the cup gets full, when a cup gets full, completely full, then a little bit will spill over the side, and then God picks up the cup and pours it out on the nation that he wants to judge. Genesis 15, 16, he talked about the Amorites where it said their iniquity was not yet full. Okay, and so I have no idea what the cup is for America. When that cup gets full and running over, then God's going to pick it up and pour it out on America. Okay, and obviously this nation is worthy of it. Verse 2, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire." The sea of glass is generally the floor of heaven, crystal, clear as crystal. "And them that had gotten a victory over the beast," the Antichrist, "and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name." Okay, again, you see that there's an image, there's a name, there's a number, there's a mark. Different distinctions there. And it says, "Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." So that scene's in heaven. You'll see some of that in Revelation 4. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So there's two songs in verse 3. Song of Moses and the song of the Lamb of God. The song of Moses is, the lyrics of that song is back in Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's a long one, 44 verses. And it's a song about faith and work system, and it's a song about judgment. Okay, it's all laid out in Deuteronomy 32. There's the song. Here you have it many, many years ago. The lyrics was given to Moses. He wrote them out. And we have them here in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. You see, at the end of chapter 31, Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Okay, and then you can read down through that thing, that song there. And a lot of it is dealing with some things about Christ, some things about the tribulation. Now, why does it have the song of Moses and song of the Lamb? The song of Moses was when Moses was leader of Israel, the nation of Israel, the first commander-in-chief, as they say. And so the tribulation time period is going to be God dealing with Israel again. Therefore, it pulls in some Old Testament doctrines with a variation because it is after the New Testament, and that's what Hebrews is all about. So during the tribulation time period, you see that it's going to be a faith and work system, and that's already been discussed and revealed through Revelation. This is why you have Moses, the Song of Moses, and the Song of the Lamb. It is a mixture of the Old Testament law with some variations because of Calvary, because we are now after Calvary. And so that's why you have both of those there. Okay, verse 4, it says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy." Now, that is a unique trait to the God of the Bible. The gods of the pagans are almost always perverts. Almost always are. They're doing something towards fornication. They're doing something pervertish, like Nike, the god Nike, and things like that. Okay, and then always doing something pervert. Satanists are, they're perverts. Okay, the Masonic ideas, if you get into that, you'll find a lot of them are perverts. Okay, and the symbols that these people will use will be symbols of fornication. I mean, you see them all around our country. You go to South Bend, you cross the river in South Bend, I don't know what it is, and there's a bridge and you've got about 10 or 11 or 12 miniature Washington monuments. It's a pervert symbol. Washington Monument's a pervert symbol. The Capitol building themselves is a symbol of fornication. The Capitol buildings in almost every state, our Capitol building, that building, that top of that is a symbol of perversion. Why? It's because these people get involved in building structures. When they get involved in building structures, two Luciferians are the ones that laid out the street sections of Washington, D.C. It's the shape of the goat head of Mindy's, the street systems. Okay, and these guys get involved in these things because there's some sort of a magnetic attraction to unclean spirits with the shape of the building or the streets where they give glory to their God. You'll find in America, all throughout America, you'll find some symbols that are commonly recognized to be Christian, and then you'll find pagan symbols right beside it. Okay, down in Rensselaer, you've got two gargoyles hanging over the building on the west side as you walk in. I mean, it's right there. Then you go inside, you got the glass thing, you got the Odd Fellows in there. These guys always seem to get in that stuff. Okay, here it refers to the God of the Bible, and it says, "For thou only art holy." The God of the Bible is a holy God. The gods of the pagans are perverts. Okay, so there's a unique and number one trait. Two times in the Bible refers to God being holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's his number one quality. We have a book that says Holy Bible. We have a holy God that sent his holy Son, okay, and that holy Son is the Savior, okay, and the Holy Ghost is the one who draws us to the Savior, and then he gives us a holy Bible to find out about his holy Son. Why? Because in order for you and I to fellowship with God, we must be holy. Get the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so God is holy. Because he's holy, he's just, and that's what Revelation is about. God is just. Okay, so verse 4, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Okay, what gets man's attention? It's the judgments of God. That's when they get a wake-up call. A lot of times people think they're getting away with something, they're getting away with it, and they think they're getting away. When the judgment comes true, they found out they didn't get away with it. Justice and judgment are the habitation of God's throne. Psalms 89, verse 14. And what sustains a nation is the justice system. If it's J-U-S-T, U-S, just us, then you have a nation fall apart. But it's true justice where it's taking care and it's taking executing justice against the criminal and aiding the victim. Then you have a true system, a just system. Okay, and so the justice and judgments of God. If you would, let's try Psalms 9, verse 7. Let's see, Psalms 9, verse 16 is what I'm looking for. Psalms 9, verse 16. When God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, they quickly figured out that he's the boss. But the sad thing, it was too late. The nations or cities that surrounded Sodom and Gomorrah figured that out. And it says in the Bible that act, Sodom and Gomorrah, is an example to others. Now, what I would think would be a good attraction in Israel is there's nobody recognizes where Gomorrah's at. Nobody recognizes where Sodom's at, the other places. Gomorrah is at the foot of a place called Masada. M-A-S-A-D-A. If you get on the internet, type in Masada, you can read the story. It is a national site in Israel. It's a place where tour buses come. And you can go to this tour site. It's up on top of a cliff, okay, where some Jews had a Jewish settlement. It was at the high top of a cliff, and nobody can get up there to, you know, conquer them. Okay, and they tried for years, opposing armies tried for years and years and years. They could never get those Jews on top of Masada. Well, eventually, an army figured it out, and the Jews at the top, 800 or 900 of them, knew that they were goners, and they all teamed together and took their own lives. Masada. Okay, if you go there today, you can see some of the relics they have there. And they have a makeshift temple there. When we were there, there's some Jews facing Jerusalem praying towards it. Well, at the foot of Masada is Gomorrah. Remnants of Gomorrah. Ashes, as the Bible said. I would think it'd be pretty popular if you put big signs down there. Here, come and see Gomorrah. Put big signs out there. Come and see what happens to faggots. They turn into ashes. That's what faggot means. It's a stick in a fire. I'm sure San Francisco would want to make sure that they get tours to go there. You know, the websites, the travel websites that have gay tours, I'm sure that they would love to go there and stand on the ashes and find sulfur, little balls of sulfur around there. God torched that place. It's a good testimony. Okay, and I would dare say those people were too late to find that out, but other people around that area figured it out. Okay, Psalm 9, verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then there's that word. I don't know if that's hygion. That means meditate on that. Think about that. And then Selah. That's a reference to the second coming or the tribulation time period. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. America is forgetting God. And America will be turned into hell unless they remember God. God is made known by his judgments. Revelation chapter 4, 15. Verse 4, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. Isn't it interesting that when hurricanes, tornadoes, and whatnot, people all of a sudden become God-conscious? The prohibition against praying is lifted at that time. You know, when some kid who's been on medication or whatnot, you know, and he goes into the store, into the school like in Columbine, you know, where... He was there, and they check out his medication, and then the medical companies come and make sure they pick up his medication so they don't know what the kid's on. Okay, and so when he's shooting them up in there, the prohibition against prayer is immediately lifted. They're not going to gripe about that. And so when things like this come in, God gets our attention. He got our attention about a month ago. He just turned the water on. He got our attention. We realized how powerful he was. Okay, and then we got to scurry around like a bunch of ants to try to clean up the mess. Okay, and that's what I used to do as a kid. You know, I'd sit down, I'd see them ant things, and I'd, you know, take my omnipotent finger, you know, and then I'd watch the ants go, and, you know, of course, that's what we are like to God. Okay, but that's how God is known by his judgments. Okay, verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. As there's a temple on earth, there's a temple in heaven. The temple in heaven is the pattern for the one on earth. That's the one, the blueprint, shall we say, that God gave Moses. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. So when you watch the cartoons, you know, the good old cartoons, Bugs Bunny, you know, and Roadrunner and all those, when they get mad, they have smoke coming out their ears. Where'd that come from? It comes from the Bible. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Okay, now the plagues, chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now this is a very smart disease. This disease only affects the select people who have the mark of the beast. Now how did this disease figure out who has the mark of the beast? I mean, germs do not have brains. You know, they don't go around and say, whoa, let's get that guy and forget that guy. You know, and so this is like leprosy, if not a form of AIDS, and they are very similar. And so here's the disease that hits everybody, the sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast. Now, the mark of the beast is different than the name of the beast, which is different than the number of the beast. So these are the ones that have the mark of the beast. These are the ones that, you know, are the insiders. And so I wonder if when these guys go to the doctors figure it out, oh, it's because you got the mark of the beast. Or are they going to blame it on some other symptom? Okay, so there's what it's, I mean, that's, there's nothing like that. Remember that AIDS originally was called GRID. That was its originally was called gay-related immunity disease. But that was politically incorrect, so they had to change it. If you have the flu or cold or anything else, you cannot, you know, and you're a cook in a restaurant, you can't go to work. But if you got AIDS, no problem. No problem. Why? Because that's politically incorrect. Okay, verse 3. Now, again, as we read through this, Revelation is not difficult to understand. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's, you know, it'd be tough to believe. Verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. What sea? Mediterranean Sea? All the water? Just says upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Well, since the Bible focuses on the Middle East, and since the tribulation time period will be focused on the Middle East area, what sea are we talking about? The Dead Sea? Mediterranean Sea? It doesn't say. Either one, if you can imagine, the beach being now abandoned, because the water that's coming in on the beach will be blood red. No doubt they'll try to figure out some scientific way to excuse this, blame it on the, you know, Jewish believers that say they somehow injected a dye in the water, you know, and so they are the cause of this. They're going to try to figure it out, okay? And so there's that vial, that judgment, nothing difficult. Notice it became as the blood of a dead man. It didn't say the blood of a dead man. Okay, but it came as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, I don't have a cross-reference at the word soul. You probably could write there. Leviticus 22:11. Under the Old Testament covenant, the soul and a body were sometimes referred to synonymous, and a soul can be a reference to an animal. Okay, Revelation, or Leviticus, I think I said that, 22:11. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house shall eat of his meat. In that verse, in that context, the word soul can be an animal, because that's how often the Old Testament would use that. Leviticus 22:6, I think, is another one. The soul which hath touched in any such shall be unclean, uneven, and shall not eat of the holy things until he washes flesh with water. Okay, verse 11 would be the best one. Verse 11 shows that a soul can be a reference to animals, as it's used in Revelation 16, verse 4, or verse 3, where the living soul died, could, okay, human, but also could be all the animals in the water. Third plague. And again, Revelation is not difficult to understand. I think Revelation is one of the easiest books in the Bible to teach. It's just so wild. We do sort of have an advantage than the folks 100 years ago because of technology today, because of what's being put on the screen, because of transportation, communication. I mean, you can just imagine how fast the internet is growing and how quickly people have this already in their houses. It is phenomenal, the growth of this transportation and communication of our days. It is just phenomenal. It used to be, you know, back in the Civil War days, when a soldier died in battle, the family didn't know for 2-3 months sometimes. I mean, often during the Vietnam War, things happened over there. It wouldn't get over here, you know, for at least 3 or 4 days. Now, with the communication that's going on now, you're basically ahead of the wars. I mean, you're in on the plans with the media spouting everything off. I mean, you sit there and watch them from cameras. I often think, you know, you see these pictures of this bad guy terrorist and he's getting ready to shoot somebody. I'm thinking, how did that news reporter get that picture? Did they stage all that? How did they happen to be at the right time, at the right place when this demonstration was going on? A lot of that stuff is just staged. And people see that in a newspaper and they don't think about that. How did that cameraman get that? Do they have a script that they follow? Yeah, probably do. Probably do. Okay, so Revelation 16, verse 4. Next one. And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now that one, it says literally, they became blood. They didn't become as blood, they became blood. Okay, what rivers, what fountains? Is that worldwide? Is that just Israel? It doesn't say. Okay, but even at that, even if that only occurs in one place, don't you know that will affect a lot of people? The word will get out. Okay, verse 4, verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, okay, speaking to God, after three plagues, what does the angel say? Thou art a merciful and loving God, and you should be nice to these people. They have a different attitude about justice and judgment than man does. After the death, after the disease of hundreds and thousands of people, verse 2, after the death of all these animals, verse 3, after the death of people who drink or take of the waters in verse 4, and the ruination of all the land, and oh, Mother Nature is really upset, the trees are dying. After that, an angel in heaven says about God, Thou art righteous. O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Why are they like that and man is different? It's because you and I are only one little place, one of 6 billion souls on this earth. We can only hear only so much. And if you heard somebody cussing your Savior, maligning God's book, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, it would work on you. Usually when I hear that stuff, I leave. I turn it off. I walk away from it. God hears every bit of it. He's heard it for 6,000 years. He has heard man make fun of his son. He has heard every college professor mock the Bible. He has watched every college professor make fun of Christians in the schools. He has heard this. He has watched this. He has seen every rape. He has seen every theft going on in this world. And he just had enough. And so he said, it's my turn. And so they say, you're right. The angels in heaven are wondering what's taking them so long. Verse 6, for they, people on earth, man, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You know, one big argument that often is against Christianity that, oh, it's a bloody religion. You know, bloody Savior. It's a bloody religion. And television isn't. And Hollywood's not. A couple weeks back, I put up that big banner we have down there in Lafayette, West Lafayette, and it's got Jesus hanging on a cross. And actually, that's a pretty tame picture. I mean, it's not at all what the Bible shows. And some guy walked by, he and his wife, his little six-year-old girl, and he walked and he said, that is the most violent thing my daughter has seen today. But I said, go home, turn on the TV. She hasn't watched TV. I'll bet she's watched cartoons. Don't tell me those cartoons. I remember Bugs Bunny. I'm not talking about the demonic ones of today. Yeah, right. Go kid somebody else, fella. You see? There was a wreck down the street, blood all over the highway. He'd be one of the ones in line gaping at it, too. Why? It's human nature. You know, why do they have gaper's blocks? People are gawking at it. Okay, so verse 6, they are worthy of it. They want to see it. They want to watch in Hollywood. They want to play in the video games and kill somebody all the time, watch their blood come out. The Lord said, okay. You want it so much, I'll make you drink it. You're worthy of it. Verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The ones in heaven see what's going on. And after God kills a bunch of people, in heaven, they don't cry about it. They say, you're right. You're right in what you do. In Genesis 25, one thing that Abraham appealed to God, before when he was making that bargain with God, you know, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, he said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? God, should you kill more than 10 righteous people? Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Well, the answer is, yeah, he's going to do right. And he got 4 people out, and then he killed the rest. And he did right. You know, there's a lot of crimes, major crimes. I'm not talking about petty thieves. I'm not talking about petty stealing up there in Gary. I'm talking about major legalized theft. Isn't this in America a crazy country? We have to bail out the bankers who make money out of thin air, who put nothing into a house and get everything out of it. And then this country bails them out with what? Fake currency. It is amazing what's going on in this. The theft. The guy that's, you know, steals from you on the street corner, man, he's kindergarten compared to these guys in our government. Where's the justice? Where's the justice in 911? If you buy the party line, why haven't they gotten Bin Laden yet? Why don't they put him on number one hit list? You know, FBI. That one woman that was the Pakistani trying to become the Pakistani leader, she said a few years ago that Bin Laden's been dead for 3 years. Why aren't they trying to go after him anymore? It's not public. I've heard President Bush say it's not about Bin Laden. I thought it was. If you follow the party line, where's the justice? Where's the justice on Waco bombing? Children, they got fried by Janet Reno. Where's the justice in Oklahoma bombing, where a bunch of people got killed, not just by Timothy McVeigh? Where's the justice? Who killed JFK? You know, where's the justice? It took 13 years to get OJ. Man, he's just a beginner compared to these guys. Now, I get to wonder about these things. If these people aren't flesh and blood, does God lay the justice down? He waits until the end? You know, I mean, my dog doesn't get justice when it kills a rabbit. He brings a raccoon up to our house. Nobody gripes about that. God don't judge my dog for that. You know, it brings a little bunny up there and is a dead right there. God don't say, you naughty, naughty dog. Now, what about these beings that are portraying themselves to be men, sons of Satan? Do they get it? I don't know. I wonder if they don't, because they're going to wait to the end. Where's the justice? I pray about these things. Where's the God of justice? Where people are losing money right and left to a corrupt system. People gone to court, lost a bunch of money. Where's the justice on these judges? You see, I realize a lot of them get it. The Lord lays it down on them. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot going on. You know, where's the justice for Idi Amin? How about Fidel Castro? Shouldn't he have been dead a long time ago? Why does a guy get to live so long? What he did to those people in Cuba? You know? And this is a question, this is an age-old question of the book of Job, is why do the righteous people suffer and wicked people sometimes get to live a long time? Why did Lester Roloff die in an airplane crash, and George Burns lived to be 100 years old? I want to think that was switched. But that's God. That's God. And so they said about God, true and righteous are thy judgments. Verse 7, verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given on him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They know who's doing it. They figured it out. And does it straighten them out? No. Okay, verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Okay, so the seat of the beast, probably the Vatican City, or over in Saudi Arabia somewhere. The seat of the beast. Now, wouldn't that be an interesting thing? Full of darkness. So dark you could feel it, as they say. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Chewed on their tongues. That's one reason why I don't get Novocaine. I hate Novocaine. Because you ever get Novocaine and your lips hanging down like this, you got drool coming out, and you sit there and bite on your cheek and your tongue because you don't feel it, and then about, you know, after it wears out, now it hurts. So I just take the hurt from the dentist, you know, I just say, get the job done. I even had a root canal one time without Novocaine. That one gave me a tear. It came right down there. The old doc dentist said, that hurt you? I said, yeah, that kind of got me. But I just want to get it done with quick. But you see, these guys were gnawing, they're chewing their own tongues. Verse 11, it said, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You would think they'd wake up. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. There we are now over there in Iraq. This is in Iraq. And the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay, so now we got kings of the east coming in. Armageddon, that's verse 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. So now we got our ninja turtles. Small green creatures, reptilian likes. This way you have the common saying, I got a frog in my throat. Okay, that's where that comes from. Okay, so this is the pagan trinity, verse 13, coincidence, it's in verse 13. And the pagan trinity is the dragon, the beast, and a false prophet, in verse 13. Unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Okay, the beast and a false prophet, Revelation 13, the dragon, Revelation 12, okay, the pagan trinity. What are they able to do? 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. That'd be a good one for Benny Hinn to read. Working miracles, right there. They can perform miracles. Satan can't perform miracles. Of course, you know, probably the big one for that is the charismatic movement. Okay, spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Doctrinal thing about folks in the tribulation. Okay, 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Okay, so now here's the big battle. So verse 14, it says the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So does that mean which side does America end up on? It's hard to say. Is that all the nations there? I know the whole world gets sick of listening about Jerusalem. If you would, try Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. One method of the news media is to constantly harp about an issue until the point where people get so fed up with it, they say, I want to hear about it. That's what they did with Bill Clinton and his affairs. They kept harping, kept harping. And finally, people got to the point where they said, I don't even want to hear about it. So he gets away with that stuff. Well, Jerusalem is going to be the main focal point of the news industry during the tribulation time period, and it is going to make people sick. They're going to get tired of it. Zechariah 12, verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it, okay, the ones who try to help them out, burden themselves with it, shall be cut in pieces. The Antichrist will catch them and kill them. If he catches them, he will kill them. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, the ones that gathered against Jerusalem will be the ones that God goes against. Okay, and then he comes after them, verse 14 and following, and that's part of the Battle of Armageddon also. Okay, there's so much more we got to go on that in chapter 16. We'll stop right there and come back to that thing there. Run more scriptures on that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. I pray you'd help us to look forward to your coming, and the sooner the better. In Jesus' name, amen.